HBO Films. A woman is dancing in her hallway, carrying a United States flag. HBO Films presents a Speciality Films and Locomotive production. The woman is on a film being projected onto the wall of her house. Starring Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange. Grey Gardens. The woman twirls and spins round the hallway dressed in a black leotard, tights and a headscarf. She grins as she dances. The same woman, Little Edie, smiles as she watches the film. An old woman next to her, Big Edie, is po-faced as she watches. Little Edie ends the dance with a flourish of her flag. Little Edie smiles at herself.
The only thing I needed was this man! Edie!
What?
When you say Edie, all I needed was this man, David!
Big Edie watches herself writing in a notebook on screen. Little Edie holds up her flag.
Now, she was gorgeous. Edie had everything. She doesn't remember what she was. Everybody looks and thinks and feels differently as years go by.
It's snowing over New York. The Pierre Hotel, New York City, 1936. Little Edie's checking her hair in a mirror. She's young, attractive, and her curly brown locks have two white floral clips holding them up.
Edie, look.
Your wedding jewels, mother darling.
Yes. Here. Do me up, chicken.
Little Edie does up the clasp on her mother's necklace.
This might be the last time I wear these.
Why?
Why? Because next time this will be dangling from your neck, not mine. And these. These will grace the ears of Mrs. J. Paul Getty.
Mother?
Mrs. J. Paul Getty. That has a lovely ring to it. Or Mrs. Jordan McClanahan, now I hear he has his eye on you. He's bound to propose after tonight. You look absolutely gorgeous. The doctor was right about your hair growing back. No one will notice.
He also said that it could all fall out again at any moment, so I've that to look forward to, haven't I?
It'll be fine. Now, don't be long.
Big Edie leaves the room, and Little Edie checks her reflection again. Big Edie comes into the dance hall amidst a flurry of young debutantes dressed in white.
Sir?
Edie, you look divine.
Where's Little Edie? Isn't she ready yet?
She needs a minute.
It's been over an hour, darling.
Well, you know, Edie, always the queen of the dramatic pause. I suppose I could entertain our guests with a little song while we wait.
I prefer they don't leave before Edie's been presented, but thank you.
Ah, there's our girl.
On a balcony, Little Edie shakes her head.
The spiel, they're ready for you.
A young man below has spotted her and smiles. She leaves the balcony. She heads outside and runs down the snow-covered street.
Edie! Edie! Come on back in.
I can't.
Edith, you'll never get a man to propose to you if you don't have a debut. And if you can't get a man to propose to you, well, you just...
You might as well be dead.
If you don't get married, how on earth do you plan to take care of yourself?
You know I want to be an actress and a dancer. Once you married Father, he made you give up your singing. I won't let that happen to me.
I still sing, and I have a perfectly marvelous marriage. When are you going to learn, Edie? You can have your cake and eat it too in this life.
No, you can't, Mother darling.
Edie, find a man
who'll give you a long leash.
Get married. And then you can do whatever you want.
Little Edie smiles at her mother.
Come on. How about Mrs. Howard Hughes?
Too crazy.
You're absolutely right.
East Hampton, New York, 1973. Large houses dotted amidst a tree-filled landscape by the coast. A red car pulls up outside a large, grey, ramshackle-looking house bounded by a broken-down fence. Inside, Big Edie is cooking in bed in a rubbish-strewn room.
Edie? Oh, Edie! Have you fed Buster?
Yes, Mother, I fed him his luncheon. Oh, there's a horrible smell. I can hardly stand it.
Oh, will you shut up? It's a goddamn beautiful day. Just shut up.
Two men climb out of the car. An eccentrically dressed little lady appears on a porch.
Well, look what the cat dragged in. It's the Maisels.
Hello, Edie.
I was just thinking about you. What brings you out to Grey Gardens?
Well, we'd like to do a movie just about you and your mother. Yeah.
Really? Well, what about the Bouvier movie? Well, Jackie's probably too busy being Mrs. Aristotle Onassis, huh?
Yeah, well, your cousin Lee sort of lost interest in that, didn't he? Pull the plug.
Oh, Al, that's terrible.
You and your mother were the best part of it, to be perfectly honest.
Well, Mother and I are very entertaining, that's true. So this movie would just be starring me and Mother? No one else?
That's the idea.
Well, then, it looks like the Beals just stole the Bouvier movie. This is great! This is going to be my big chance! My chance to relaunch my career.
Edie!
The Maisels are back to make a movie about us, Mother darling.
You think your mother will go along with it?
It's her house, and she has in it who she wants in it. You understand?
Oh, my heart. How perfectly flattering.
Hello, Mrs. Beale.
An old woman like me. No. I'm not much of an actress, you know.
The Maisel brothers are in Big Edie's bedroom.
So, boys, now, explain to me exactly how would this work.
Is there a script? I'm a very quick study. Are you the director then, David?
Well, no script, no director. It's a documentary. You just do what you do, and we just stay in the background.
You're just artists making a film about artists.
Well, we've always been mad about the movies. Gigi with Leslie Caron. Oh. Marvelous. Did you ever see that?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, it all sounds terribly exciting. And I assume we'll share in the profits.
Well, to be honest, the words documentary and profit don't usually end up in the same sentence.
There's never been one about us.
Mother and daughter smile at the Maisels.
I'm certain that we can work something out.
Work something,
yeah.
Oh, and I'll need a clause in my contract that lets me do roles in other movies.
Well, sure.
Absolutely. I don't think that's
not a problem.
Little Edie looks at her mother, who shrugs.
Then that cements the deal.
East Hampton, New York, 1936. A sleek black car pulls up outside a much more orderly-looking Grey Gardens. The staff come to the door.
Bobby! Neelan!
That's
what
he's
around here. Oh, he's
still
running in the house.
Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Molly. We didn't expect you till later this afternoon.
Oh, it's all right, Molly. It's okay.
Hello?
I just couldn't wait.
Go on.
Big Edie goes into the house. Stretches out her arms and claps her hands excitedly. Some of the furniture in the house is still covered in dust sheets. She sees Little Edie go into a far room, then heads upstairs. B. Big Edie looks out of the window.
Now, this is far too extravagant. What you've got here is a veritable army. We're in the midst of a depression, Edie. I've already had to let half my staff go. Well, you're going to have to cut back as well.
It takes many, many hands to run this house properly, Phelan.
You can keep Molly and Frank, but the rest have to be dismissed.
Well, what about Gould?
What about him?
Well, you can't deprive the children of their music lesson. That would be cruel.
Fine. Molly, Frank, and Gould. But that's it. Now, as far as Edie is concerned, please get her engaged to a stable person. Though I'm not sure either one of you would know stable if it walked through your soup.
Well, whatever do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean, Edith. He's unpredictable. That stunt at the Pierre did not go unnoticed.
Oh, Phelan, please. She's high-spirited.
Well, whatever euphemism you've got for it, get her settled in with a good family. This is your job, your sole responsibility.
What? You're leaving already?
I have to work, Edith. Someone has to pay for the Maidstone Club and all those goddamn crab sandwiches.
And someone has to tend to his secretary.
As she gets up from the bed, she stops, hearing music. Downstairs, a man is playing the piano, watched by two young boys. Phelan comes down the stairs with his case.
Darling. Oh, you look divine.
Oh, so do you.
Are you in voice?
I haven't practiced in ages.
Well, that's why I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, I'm off.
Children, say goodbye to your father. He's suddenly been called back to the city. Already?
Well, I'll see you on the weekend. Goodbye, buddy.
Goodbye, Father.
Bye, little man.
Goodbye, Father.
Come on. Can I come with you, please?
Well, it's the summer, Edie. There's no one your age in town.
But there's a dance class I'd like to attend.
Well, you just find yourself a nice fellow from the Maidstone Club. That's all you have to focus on this summer.
Oh, Father, but they're just so dull.
Edie. Enough.
He heads out, leaving little Edie looking downcast. She takes off her straw hat and smooths down her hair.
That's the Spanish wall garden over there. The Hills, they put that in. They imported everything from Rome. Mrs. Hill, she was a famous horticulturist. That was one of the famous gardens of America.
The documentary.
Edie, you look fantastic.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got light blue on. Well, Al, you're still, Mother says you're very conservative. This is the best thing to wear for today, you understand, because I don't like women in skirts, and the best thing is to wear pantyhose or some pants under a short skirt, I think. Then you have the pants under the skirt, and then you can pull the stockings up over the pants underneath the skirt. Mm-hmm. And you can always take off the skirt and use it as a cape, so I think this is the best costume for the day. I have to think these things up, you know. Mother wanted me to come out in a kimono, so we had quite a fight.
She turns away from the camera, looking upset, and heads to a garden gate. Al puts down the camera with a smile and looks at David, who goes over to knock on the gate.
Al, was that good? You want me to do that again?
I'm in the social.
A young little Edie walks up the sand dunes, looking stunning in her swimming costume. Four young men stare at her appreciatively as she wraps a sarong around her hips.
What a body.
Little Edie puts her hands on her hips.
Smart and sleek she sits, ready with her playful quips. Wondering who will come her way to dine her, to wine her, which to snare, to stay.
William Blake.
Edith Beale, poet, temptress, entertainer.
That was great, Cousin Edie.
it's in the Bouvier blood. You can do it too, Jacqueline.
Big Edie is wandering through Grey Gardens, carrying a drink. She finds Gould reading in the drawing room.
Mr. Strong.
He puts down his book and smiles at her. She smiles flirtatiously back.
The children are all at the beach. Shall we have our lesson?
Of course, darling. Let's. How about this one?
She looks slightly disappointed as he sits at the piano. She comes over to sit on the piano stool beside him.
We belong together, we're happy together, and life is a song.
When we are together, we know we are where we belong.
We belong together, like birds of a feather, together we thrive.
Little Edie and Jackie come in. Big Edie and Gould are oblivious to Little Edie and Jackie, who stroll out of the room together.
Together, we know we are where we belong.
Bravo.
Should I tell them about Gould? Gould was Mother's accompanist. He was a boogie-woogie composer with the most terrific style.
He was the most brilliant man I ever met. That's including Mr. Beale and Mr. Bouvier. Completely brilliant.
Big Edie takes off her glasses and dabs at her face as Al films her.
I came down here to live in this house because I did all my singing here. I was so happy. I was happier singing than anything I've ever done since I was born. I liked it better than anything I ever did.
Little Edie watches her mother sadly.
I won't dance, don't ask me.
I won't dance, don't ask me.
I won't dance, madame, with you.
Why not?
My heart won't let my feet do things they should do.
Little Edie smiles over at her mother and Gould as she wanders through the party.
So what? I love you,
but I want you to me. I'm like an ocean wave that's pumped on the shore.
I feel so absolutely stumped on the floor. I won't dance, why should I?
I won't dance, how could I?
I won't dance.
Lost in her own little world, Big Edie sways to the music as she sings.
So if I hold you,
everybody at the party is having fun and laughing.
I won't dance. I won't dance.
Big Edie falls back into Gould's arms. Nighttime. Phelan steps off a train at East Hampton Station. He puts up his umbrella. He looks around, hopefully, but there's nobody there to meet him.
The chimney's smoking, the roof is leaking in, but I don't.
Back at Grey Gardens, everyone's watching Big Edie sitting on the grand piano as she sings.
Why I should love that man.
Wearing a white silk hooded dress, Little Edie floats past.
That the angels done black.
She slips off her hood and settles to watch her mother.
Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly. I gotta love one man till I die.
The station platform is now empty, so Phelan sets off on foot.
Come on, Edie, soft shoe. How can you resist?
Little Edie gets up to join her mother in a dance. Together, they perform some perfectly choreographed moves in unison, twirling round and round on the spot. They sway from side to side, then leap forward in time to the music. Big Edie slaps her knees, then Little Edie does the same, and they bump hips together. As Big Edie shimmies on the spot, Little Edie dances around her.
But when he comes back, that day is fine, the sun will shine. He can come home as late as can be.
Phelan arrives home. Little Edie immediately stops dancing and pulls her hood back on.
Edith!
Phelan looks at her grimly.
Oh, Mr. Beale! What are you doing here? It's only Thursday.
It's Friday, Edith. Oh. Get everyone out of here, including him. Goddamn Ganymede.
I'm right here, Phelan. I can hear you.
Everyone starts to leave. Gould is the last to leave, heading out past a portrait of Big Edie. Little Edie heads up the stairs and sends her brothers to their rooms while she listens at a door.
Used to be charming, now it's just sad.
And what's that feeling?
You're the mother of my children, not a showgirl.
Their mothers can't sing.
You know what I mean.
She holds out her arm for him to help her take off her bracelet. Reluctantly, he unclasps it.
Edie. Enough is enough. I'm making a change. I'm putting the boys in boarding school, and I'm bringing little Edie back to the city before you ruin her altogether.
Ruin her. Why? Because she was dancing at a party.
The priest said she needs a strong hand.
Little Edie skips excitedly back to her room.
And where are you in all this, Mr. Father of my children?
I don't need this.
Well, neither do I.
Then you'll live your life. And I'll live mine.
With pleasure.
He nods briskly, then gets up and leaves the room. She looks at herself in the mirror, then tosses her earrings down onto the dressing table. Little Edie is ready to leave.
Mother? Mother, please. Aren't you going to say goodbye?
Why?
Where are you going?
I'm going to New York, Mother.
Give my regards to Broadway.
Well, that's just crazy. What are you going to do in New York?
I'm going to be an actress and a dancer.
Life upon the wicked stage ain't ever what a girl supposes.
And of course your father's going to make all the introductions. Is that it? Set you up? With all his show business connections at the law firm. I worry about you, babe. Stay here.
I'm strong. You've always said that I was a staunch character, remember?
Stop!
Little Edie looks at her mother sadly.
I want your blessing, Mother, please.
Unable to meet her eye, Big Edie shakes her head slowly. Gould looks at her in disbelief.
Edith.
He shoots her a pointed look.
Edie, Edie. There's nothing there that you can't get here.
You can travel the whole world, and you'll still never find anything as beautiful as right here. Besides, Gould doesn't know how to soft shoe. Who am I going to dance with?
She plays with her daughter's hair as she looks at her beseechingly.
Goodbye, Mother.
Little Edie heads out, leaving her mother devastated.
Edie? Oh, Edie!
She never answers me, that woman.
Suppose I won't get out of here until she dies or I die.
Who's she, the cat?
I don't know when I'm going to get out of here.
Why do you want to get out?
Because I like freedom.
Well, you can't get it, darling. You're being supported. You can't get freedom when you're being supported.
I thought you always said you can't get freedom when you're not being supported, remember? Well, it's awful both ways, I guess. I just like a couple of days on the beach, that's all.
Well, everything's good you didn't do. At the time, you didn't want it. Everybody looks and thinks and feels differently as years go by.
It's very difficult to keep the line between the past and the present. Awfully difficult.
The bustling streets of New York. Little Edie sashays down a sidewalk in a chic outfit with matching bag, gloves and pillbox hat. A young man turns to look at her as she walks past. She stops to look at some jewelry in a shop's window display and smiles to herself, then carries on breezing down the sidewalk. She walks along a hallway and comes into a restaurant where her father is sitting at a table waiting for her.
Hello, Father. Sorry I'm late.
I've ordered for you.
So?
Yes?
Isn't this the part where you ask me if I've met someone new?
Well, have you?
I meet new people all the time.
That's not what I meant, and you know it. I can't afford to support you indefinitely, Edie. Who do you think pays for women like you?
And like me.
Well, between your room at the Barbizon, your allowance, your mother's allowance.
Your new fake wife's allowance?
Don't be insolent.
He takes out an envelope.
You want this check or not? Now, that position is still open at the law firm. You're a smart girl, Edie. And you're more than capable of secretarial work. I don't know why you can't hold one of these jobs. Just promise me you'll try to get back on course.
Yes, Father.
Well, at least you've given up that foolish notion of performing your mother infected you with.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Little Edie walks down a catwalk alongside other models. A middle-aged man eating his lunch is watching her. She catches his eye and smiles. He turns to focus his attention fully on her.
Who's that guy at the third table?
The name's Julius Krug. The Secretary of the Interior? No idea. Watch out, he's married.
Heaven! It's Max Gordon!
Who's that?
You don't know who Max Gordon is? He's a famous producer.
Everyone claps as the models continue with their fashion parade of fur coats.
Max Gordon discovered Judy Holliday and is generally considered the king of Broadway.
Big Edie sitting on the sun terrace with Gould.
It is a beautiful ocean today, isn't it? What color would you say it was?
Blue.
You're absolutely right. Sapphire. Oh, this is the most beautiful place on earth. I don't know how anyone could prefer New York City.
She strokes Gould's arm. In the restaurant.
I'm terribly sorry to interrupt your luncheon, but I know we haven't been properly introduced. I'm Edith Bouvier Beale, and you're Max Gordon.
Thank you. I'd had a few of these, and I started to wonder.
I hear you're on the lookout for the next great actress.
Well, I am casting a new musical this summer.
I just adore musicals, and I do terrific dances. We all march together, for love is behind. We all march together, united we die. We all march together, because we love the land. It's the spirit of the MI. I was doing the VMI marching song, which is a ground maneuver. And when I do that, see, that's when the plane goes by.
You're quite the comedian. You're funnier than Judy Holliday. We're holding auditions at the Guild Theater at the end of July. Ring my office. Put yourself on the list for a shot.
Well, I'll try to squeeze it in. Thank you, Mr. Gordon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cal.
Julius Krug comes over.
Miss Beale.
Yeah?
That was quite the little routine you put on in there.
Why, thank you, Mr.
Krug. Please call me Cap. Everybody does.
Cap. That's marvelous. I was named after my mother. She's also Edith.
Would you have dinner with me, Edith? Lunch? Dessert?
You could take me dancing. Pinky.
$658.48 to the Maidstone Club. Edith, let's just cancel it.
No, when Edie comes home, she'll want to go.
Edith, she's not coming home.
Well, don't say that. I'll pay for it out of the Bouvier Trust. Next.
Here's one from PC Shank and Sons for $89.27. For the heating oil.
Send that one to my husband.
I already did last month. Your husband's wife sent it back.
I am not in the mood for this, Gould. Not now. We'll finish later. Gould?
Yes, Edith.
You know I'd be lost without you.
And I, you, darling? Like a moth to the flame.
He pulls away from her kiss.
And what's a moth without a flame?
Gould gets up and heads out.
Dancing isn't exactly my forte.
You're doing just fine.
Cap and Little Edie are on a dance floor.
So what's he like?
Who?
President Truman.
Well, he and I didn't see eye to eye on certain things, so I stepped down from his cabinet.
Oh, I just adore politics.
How is it you haven't been snapped up by some eligible bachelor yet, Edith?
Oh, I've sworn off bachelors.
What do you have against bachelors?
They're boring, inconsiderate, pig-headed, stubborn, spoiled mama's boys who think they have a premium on women, which unfortunately they have, there being so many of us girls around.
Hang on.
But one has got to make the most in a difficult situation, and that's why women in desperation have turned to the married man. Married men are generous and discreet. They don't make a fuss. They don't stick around, and they let you have a career if you want one.
Most girls would be jealous.
Most girls aren't Edith Beale. All I want in life, Mr. Krug, is a dance partner.
At Grey Gardens, Big Edie hurries down the stairs wearing a pink dressing gown. She heads into the drawing room to find a record playing. Gould comes in, carrying his cases. Big Edie puts her hand to her chest in shock. Gould steps over to her. She looks down at his cases. Then she looks him in the eye accusingly. He puts one case down and opens the front door. He puts on his hat and looks at her with a frown. She smiles and reaches out her hand to touch the brim of his hat. Then she strokes his face and he kisses her hand.
Goodbye, Edith.
Tears well up in her eyes as she mouths bye to him. He picks up his cases and walks out. Looking devastated, Big Edie shuts the door behind him. She paces across the hallway, looking round at the empty house. Then she starts slowly back up the stairs again. But collapses into sobs halfway up. Cap and Little Edie let themselves into a room and Edie turns on the light.
Shh! You're like pulling a china shop. Do you want to get caught?
I'm sorry.
Oh, God. If they find you here, I'll be out on the streets. No questions asked. What's that?
A large box on the bed. Edie opens it to find a fur coat inside.
Oh, Cap. It's divine. But it's far too generous.
It suits you.
So you've bought me now, is that it?
Of course not, Ed. I just love to see you shine.
He puts the coat around her shoulders.
It's exciting.
Oh, don't. I ate too much. I have to lose weight before the audition.
At Grey Gardens, Big Edie picks up the phone.
Ah, oh, my angel Cap. Whoever said you can't have it all? It wasn't Edith Beale.
Edie goes to answer the phone.
Hello, Mother.
Edie?
Yeah.
What was that?
I just knocked over a glass.
Have you replied to Mrs. Cabot's party invitation yet?
No. I mean, yes.
I sent my regrets. I don't want to travel all the way out to East Hampton for just one party.
Well, it wouldn't be just for that, I hope. I miss you, Chicken.
I miss you too, Mother. But I really must go. It's just that I'm pressing my blouse and it's going to burn.
Well, it's a bit late to go out now.
Oh, no, Mother.
It's burning.
Edie?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. We'll talk again tomorrow.
No, no, Edie. Well, I love you too, Edie.
Can you believe he said I was funnier than Judy Holliday?
And prettier.
He didn't say that.
Well, he should have.
Cap picks her up.
I flirt, but it's all talk.
And lays her down on the bed.
Mostly.
I wish I'd met you before.
Oh, Cap.
She kisses him.
She knows that I'm here.
Dean.
Yes, Mother.
Listen, babe, I was thinking.
Were you running?
No, I just got out of the tub and ran to the phone.
Have you got a man there, Edie?
No, of course not.
But so what if I had? Well, why don't you bring him home? I'd like to meet this nice young man.
No, stop pressuring me to come home. I'm getting
work, and I'm just about to get an audition with. Are you sitting down?
Max Gordon.
The Max Gordon.
I danced for him. He went to pieces.
He's married.
Well, I don't know if he's married, but what does that matter? Mr. Gordon is a very prominent producer.
Oh, no, 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 Edie. I don't mean him. I mean your visitor. He's married, isn't he?
Mother, No, Edie. Married men will only break your heart.
I'm fine. I'm happier than I've ever been.
You know that stress makes your hair fall out. Remember?
Mother.
I've got to go.
Dead lady runs back over to Cap on the bed.
Ooh, I think she's on to us.
Papers are strewn all over the floor of Grey Gardens.
Phelan?
Yes?
It's me. I have some news.
Is this about the check?
No, it's not about the bills. It's about your daughter.
It's morning, and little Edie's lying in bed with Cap.
Miss Beale, your father's here. He's waiting downstairs for you in the lobby.
Oh my God, we fell asleep.
She quickly hands Cap his trousers. The documentary.
Do you remember this?
May I see that, please? The villain of the piece. To my best friend and most delightful comrade, to my only sweetheart and wonderful wife, I tender this likeness of her husband, Phelan Beale, 1929. Did I laugh when I read that? Aunt Kid's terrible. I just roared.
Little Edie perches on the edge of the bed.
I lived alone at least 30 years. I didn't mind. You get to be very independent when you live alone. You get to be a real individual.
You can't have your cake and eat it too in life.
Oh, yes, I did. I had my cake, loved it, masticated it, chewed it. I had everything I wanted.
She was bored. She couldn't stand it.
No, I was not. I was a great singer. I had a perfect marriage, beautiful children. I had a terribly successful marriage. No, I never had a fight in my life. I never threw anything at Mr. Beale, never. No, I never had words with Mr. Beale at all. Edie, why don't you show the Maisels the beach?
Do you boys want to see the ocean?
Sure.
Come on.
With her trademark headscarf tied around her head, Edie leads the way out. As the Maisels follow her, Big Edie picks up the framed photo of Phelan and looks at it sadly. Then, she tosses it back down onto the bed. Phelan and little Edie are sitting together on a train. Edie's looking fed up. As she smooths her hair, a clump of it comes out in her hand. She strokes it again, and more comes out.
Edie, this will be better for you. You can swim, fresh air. It's too hot in town. I love the ocean. Edie, please. Edie, please say goodbye.
Without a word, Edie marches off past her mother, who's waiting on the platform. Phelan gives Big Edie a look, but she just turns and goes. Now their car pulls up at Grey Gardens. Big Edie gets out while her daughter remains in the passenger seat, looking livid. Big Edie heads up the steps towards the house, then turns to look at her daughter, who still hasn't moved. Eventually, little Edie gets out of the car and removes her cases from the back seat. Her mother smiles, but little Edie marches past her and on into the house. Her mother skips excitedly after her. They step into the darkened house. Little Edie stands in the hallway, looking around her in dismay. Every surface is covered in papers. She turns to look in the other direction to see books and papers strewn all over the floor and every available surface.
evening, Grey Gardens. Oh, I'll have a look to see if Mrs. Beale is at home. Thank you, Molly. I've got it. This is Mrs. Beale.
May I speak with Edith, please?
To whom am I speaking?
Julius Krug.
Oh. A Mr. Julius Krug for you, dear.
Little Edie goes to take the phone and waits till her mother has left. Then she tucks herself into a doorway, but her mother listens from the stairs.
Cap?
What happened to you?
I'm stuck here at my mother's house.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
Okay. When are you going to be back?
Well, that's just it. I don't know. I have my audition on Tuesday morning. I just have to make it back by then.
Well, I'll take you to lunch afterwards to celebrate.
Meet me at the Hampshire House.
Cap.
I know. Me too.
Cap.
Never say that right after I say that, okay? I never want to have to wonder if you thought you had to say it.
But I didn't say it.
Right. I'll see you there.
She hangs up, delirious with happiness.
He sounded awfully married to me.
Ignoring her mother, Little Edie twirls across the floor excitedly. An overcast morning outside Grey Gardens. Inside, Big Edie is crouched over.
Edie!
What's wrong, Mother?
Where have you been, woman?
Paris, Mother.
Look.
Kitties, little baby kitties.
Marvelous. Here, look at this one.
And this one.
Oh, poor old Pink. She must be starving.
Pinky, are you hungry?
We're out of cat food. I'll go into town, get some more.
Little Edie starts up the car.
Oh, Edie! Edie! Get some ice cream! We'll celebrate!
Yes, Mother darling.
Her mother stands on the porch with her hands on her hips as Edie drives off. She gazes around, suddenly looking lonely again. Little Edie comes out of a store with a grocery bag under one arm and reading a magazine. There's an article about debutante Jacqueline Le Bouvier. Edie shuts the magazine again. She drives home past sun-dappled trees. At a fork in the road, she suddenly brakes so sharply that the magazine falls onto the floor. She stares at the sign ahead, with one arrow pointing to New York and another pointing in the opposite direction to Georgia Beach. She stares at Judy Holliday on the cover of the magazine, then looks back at the road sign, puts the car into gear, and heads for New York.
All march together, for love is divine.
As day turns to night, she puts on her headlights. She runs up the steps in a hotel foyer, then scurries across to the reception desk.
Give that to Mr. Krug right away.
Oh, and your name, miss?
Judy Holliday.
Of course.
Edie goes to sit down in the bustling foyer. She sits and waits, leaning back into the padded seat. Cap comes out of a lift. She immediately runs over.
Cap!
Are you trying to sabotage my marriage?
What do you mean?
My wife
loved your poem, Edith.
Well, I didn't know she was here.
Please, save the innocent surprise routine for Max Gordon. I told you to meet me at the Hampshire House tomorrow.
It was a mistake.
Look, I can't do this anymore. At all.
Cap, what we have between us is special.
What we had between us was sex.
As tears well up in her eyes, he kisses her on the forehead.
I'm sorry. Goodbye.
He walks off, leaving her leaning against the wall, distraught. At Grey Gardens, Big Edie's on the bed stroking kittens on her lap. She picks up the phone.
Edie?
Mother?
Oh, Edie, Edie, where are you?
I'm in New York, Mother.
Oh, it was apoplectic.
I looked up my bow.
He...
Oh, Edie. Edie left you.
Come home, Edie.
But I have my audition tomorrow.
Well, you're in no condition for that. No, there'll be another chance.
Mother.
It's Max Gordon.
Oh,
Edie. Oh, Max Gordon will wait for talent.
Come home and recuperate. Let me take care of you.
Edie?
Edie, come home. Come home.
Come on, Edie.
Big Edie hangs up, then holds up one of the kittens.
Oh.
In a graying light, Edie's car pulls up outside Grey Gardens. Edie stares over at the house, then shuts her eyes in desperation. She gets out of the car, picks up the bag of groceries from the back seat, shuts the door, and heads inside.
Edie? Is that you?
Edie steps into her mother's bedroom looking heartbroken.
Did you bring the cat food?
She nods.
And the ice cream?
It melted.
Oh. Just look at that face. These are some of the most beautiful kitties in the world. I could just elope with these kitties. Put them in a big basket and elope with them. Aren't they gorgeous? Look.
Edie nods and walks out.
Edie? Let's breed cats, Edie. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
You get some rest, babe.
The documentary.
Isn't this a treat? I've been out to the beach in absolutely forever.
The only reason Mother is letting me out is because of you two fellows.
I think my days at Grey Gardens are limited. I don't want to be here. I can't stand a country house in the first place. Makes me terribly nervous. I'm scared to death of doors, locks, people roaming around in the background, under the trees and in the bushes. I'm absolutely terrified. Not a bit terrified in the city. Not a bit. Any little rat's nest in New York, any little mouse hole, any little rat hole, even on 10th Avenue, I would like better.
She adjusts the sand beneath her bathing cap.
Good afternoon, Grey Gardens. Oh!
Oh, no, buddy. It's me.
How are you? Oh, my boy. I was just thinking of you.
Her face falls.
Oh. Oh.
Little Edie's inspecting a bald patch on her scalp in the mirror. She smooths her hair down over it. Her mother comes to her bedroom door.
Come in.
Buddy called. Your father's died. The funeral's here in town on Tuesday.
I never said goodbye.
His wife got all of it, Buddy? Every cent?
Most of it, yes. What little father did leave you was put into a trust.
What's that supposed to mean? That I'm not responsible enough to manage it myself? Who oversees this trust?
Buddy and I are the trustees.
Oh, well, then you can contest the will.
There's not that much there, Mother, and frankly, lawyer's fees would just eat it all up. But don't worry, you and Edie will continue to receive your monthly stipend.
That barely covers the groceries and the long-distance bill. He's had me living on $150 a month for the last 10 years.
If we increase your allowance, your money will just run out that much sooner.
Which is why Buddy and I have found a nice place in Marco Island that you could afford if you were to sell Grey Gardens.
Oh, I'd love to move to a hot little island. Someone's finally singing my song.
No more horrid winters.
Yeah, and there wouldn't be nearly the upkeep this place requires. What do you say?
It would be good for your back, Mother, darling. Your arthritis isn't getting any better.
You could get a place all on one level, no stairs to climb.
I could work on my nightclub routine.
You could even afford to hire some help, Mother. We've worked it all out.
Maybe travel or meet somebody.
Big Edie looks at her sons, then up at Edie, who gives her a thumbs up.
Oh. I'm not selling Grey Gardens, chickens. Are you sure you don't want to spend the night here? It's such a long drive back to Glen Cove.
You're not understanding. Your trust won't last forever, and we can't afford to fix this place up for you.
All you have to do is sign this power of attorney form. We'll take care of everything.
Grey Gardens is in my name. It always has been. That's not going to change. The only way I'm ever leaving Grey Gardens is feet first.
Eventually, you'll be forced to leave.
Little Edie looks distraught. Nighttime at Grey Gardens. Little Edie grimaces at herself in the mirror. She pulls at her hair, and a clump comes out. Nearly in tears, she inspects her bald patch, then gets up from the dressing table and paces round the room distractedly. She grabs a magazine off the bed and rips it up. Big Edie sits up in bed. Little Edie runs down the stairs in darkness, then tears around a room searching through drawers. Finally, she grabs a pair of scissors out of a drawer and starts wildly cutting at her hair. Big Edie switches on the light.
Oh, no! Edie, stop! Put that down! Oh, my God!
She cradles and strokes her daughter's head in her lap.
You gotta go on. Chicken, you gotta go on in life. Even when you've lost your song.
Come on.
Edie helps her daughter back upstairs.
Just think of the bad opportunities this presents me. Oh.
The Maisel's car is parked outside Grey Gardens.
What did you think when Edie came back from the barber shop?
Oh, I had to build her up. She was very sick. And, I was happy to do it.
She was sick?
Oh, yeah. Very delicate. And very ill. She was very delicate. Very bad. I don't like delicate women. I hate them. They can't have babies. They can't do anything.
But I didn't know I came back to give Gould a vacation.
Yes, he wanted a vacation.
But I didn't know that.
Now, listen, you're wasting that thing on this because this is just nuts. How long am I going to be on display? I'm not in the mood anymore.
You're doing great, Mrs. Beale.
She glances over at her daughter.
I suppose Mother didn't want me to have anybody that was decent. You understand.
The two women sit in their narrow beds. Shattered windows and holes in the roof. Inside Grey Gardens, the wallpaper is streaked brown with water. A raccoon pads over cushions and books, and papers lie piled up everywhere. Amidst the mess lies a front page headline, Kennedy assassinated, Jackie spattered with blood.
Under brilliant sunshine, a steady stream of some 200 world statesmen follow a black-veiled Jacqueline Kennedy as she walks in silent dignity behind the coffin of her slain husband. A hushed silence has fallen across the thousands of bystanders who line the route of the funeral procession. They catch their first glimpse of President Kennedy's children, little Caroline and John, dressed in their best coats, holding their mother's hands, and surrounded by a sea of black. John's third birthday is today. It is 12 o'clock here in Washington as Mrs. Kennedy leads her children up the cathedral steps and into the west door of St. Matthew's for the service.
Of course, I'm mad about animals, but raccoons and cats become a little bit boring. I mean, for too long a time. I don't know. I better check on Mother and the cats. She's a lot of fun. I hope she doesn't die. I'd hate to spend another winter here, though. Oh, God, another winter.
The wreck of their old car, now overgrown with plants. Another car pulls up near the house with two men inside. They get out, and little Edie comes to a window to see who it is. The two men pick their way through the overgrown vegetation, staring around them in disbelief. Edie opens the window as they head up the steps and across the porch to the front door. One of the men peers at a cat.
This is private property, you know. You shouldn't be here.
Miss Beale, I'm the head of the Housing and Sanitation Division of the Suffolk County Health Department. And this is my deputy.
How you do, Miss Beale?
We've received several complaints.
From whom?
Mostly from people downwind of you.
The community's concerned with the state of your property, starting with this automobile in the yard here.
Look, things just tend to accumulate after Labor Day. What can I tell you?
Right. Well, we also understand that you may have no heat, no running water, and your home is no longer fit for human or even animal habitation.
Who put you up to this? Was it my rotten brothers?
We need to inspect your home for possible health code violations.
Have you got a search warrant?
Well, no.
Well, Mother and I appreciate your concern, but you really shouldn't have come.
If this place isn't thoroughly cleaned up, we'll have no choice but to take legal action to force you and your mother to vacate.
What do you mean the trust has run out? Completely?
Oh, Buddy, how?
No, no, Florida.
A tree is growing through the roof of the house.
We have been clients of P.C. Sheck and Sons for over 50 years. Does that not count for anything at all? Well, yes, but when you have a reversal of fortune, sir, what do you hope will happen to you? Hello? Hello? Oh. Edie called the grocer. I'm starving.
Mother, they've cut us off.
Well, can you get the heating guy back? It's getting cold.
He won't come. We owe him $947.
Go to bed with him if you have to. Winter's just around the corner.
Everyone just hold here, okay?
Miss Beale! Miss Beale, we're back and we need to speak to you.
It's the authorities.
She leans out of the window.
I'll be down just as soon as I put on some lipstick.
Stay here, I'll take care of everything.
Big Edie takes off her glasses and zips up her top.
Hello.
What?
Here's the inspection report you were asking for, Ms. Beale.
Disease cats. We're not harboring any disease cats.
Well, that's what we're here to determine.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Wait, no!
Oh, jeez.
You can't go in there!
Okay, a couple of you check in there.
Don't go up there!
Oh,
get out of this house! Get out of my house!
Someone get a cage, please!
The men hold their noses at the stench as they climb the stairs, using torches to light the way.
Step through here.
A raccoon.
Silent, I think.
The distorted keys of the piano.
My gosh.
Mother and daughter hold each other. Cats and raccoons are put into cages. Then the man from the sanitation department pins a notice to the door saying, "Warning, failed inspection." At the bottom of the notice is written, "You are ordered to clean up this property or face eviction and condemnation."
I can't stand this mean, nasty Republican town. I mean, where else but in East Hampton do you have to pay to get your garbage taken away? There's someone out there.
There's no one out there. It's all in your head, kid.
Little Edie's looking through binoculars.
I think he has a camera.
You need to get dressed, Mother darling.
You don't want the whole world to see you looking like that.
What do you mean, the whole world? There's no one here but us chickens.
I think your staunch daughter just came up with a solution to our vexing situation.
Someone's hiding in the bushes and taking photos of the house. As he stands up, Little Edie's behind him.
You're not going to get a very good picture from all the way back here.
I'm sorry, I was... Please, don't call the police!
The police? Mother thought we should invite you in for tea.
He runs after her, and she starts posing for photos, dressed in her fur coat and a blue patterned headscarf.
Taking pictures of me?
Yes, Mrs. Beale.
Did you photograph the carved banisters and paneled doors? Only a student of architecture could fully appreciate details like that.
As Big Edie puts on lipstick, water drips through a hole into a dish.
You're going to publish these photographs, right?
Oh, they'll definitely be published.
Right?
A selection of newspaper articles entitled High Society Dropouts, Bouvier Black Sheep, Officials May Evict Jackie's Relatives, and Jackie Kennedy Kin Live in Squalor. Little Edie reads the articles in dismay. As their old car lies overtaken by vegetation, a sleek black limo pulls slowly up to the house. In their home, mother and daughter are eating from the same tin. A chauffeur opens the door of the limo, and Jackie Kennedy steps out. She stares over incredulously at the ramshackle house with its broken windows and branches growing into every crevice. She takes off her oversized dark glasses to study it more closely. Then slowly, she starts towards the steps leading to the front porch. She climbs them, then hesitates for a moment. She opens the fly screen and knocks on the front door.
Who is it? Who's there?
An Edie. It's Jacqueline.
Jacqueline! I was just thinking about you. We'll be right down.
Jackie steps inside and quickly whips off her headscarf, cramming it against her mouth and nose against the stench. The place is a rubbish tip, with cats lying on overturned furniture.
Jacqueline! Oh. We weren't expecting you.
Sorry to have come over unannounced, but your phone's been disconnected.
She kisses them on the cheek.
That cat is going to the bathroom right in the back of your portrait, Aunt Edith.
It is not much of a cleaner. She doesn't like to polish and do things like that. Why don't we all go sit out in the walled garden? It's such a beautiful day. You've always had such gorgeous hair. It's wonderful.
Little Lady looks around with a grimace, then heads out after them.
What brings you to East Hampton, Jacqueline?
I needed to get away, so I decided to stay with Lee and Montauk for a few days.
Oh, Lee's in Montauk?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a niece in Montauk, and I didn't know.
She's staying at Andy Warhol's place. My sister's fallen in with a bit of a film crowd. She's got a mind set on making a movie about our childhoods out here in East Hampton.
Well, if you ever need a place to stay, Chicken, if you need to get away from it all, the door's always open. Oh, God, these chairs. Are they dirty, these chairs?
We can sit on paper.
Little Edie lays newspaper on each of the rusting chairs, and they all sit down.
Jacqueline, did you receive our condolences after that terrible thing with Jack?
Oh, I meant to thank you. I'm sorry.
You've had quite a rough go of it, haven't you?
I don't think I was ever really cut out for public life. Such scrutiny.
No judgments here, Jacqueline.
Thank you, Aunt Edie. You two have always been so warm to me.
Looking disgruntled, Little Edie gets up and walks off.
Edie, are you all right?
Little Edie walks over to her and strokes her hair. Jackie looks a little taken aback.
Is it true that Jack Kennedy gave you gonorrhea?
Edie! I'm terribly sorry, Jackie.
Do you remember Jack's brother, Joe Kennedy Jr.?
No, Edie, he died in the war years before I even met Jack.
When he died, I cried. I really did. Joe was an extraordinarily beautiful young man. Oh, I was
was really taken by him.
Yes, too bad he wasn't taken by you.
He certainly was. It's no secret they were grooming him to be president before they ever started looking to Jack. He was a superb dancer, he really was. But it was his manners I remember most.
You know what I'll always remember? Summers here in East Hampton with Aunt Edie singing and you taking me down to the beach.
I was the golden girl.
You certainly were.
Edie, get us some pate, won't you?
You know, if Joe hadn't gone down in the war, then I certainly would have married him, and then I'd
Edie,
have been...
Edie, don't! Just get us some pate or ice cream or something.
I'd have become First Lady and not you. Yes, Jacqueline. It could have been me.
I wish it had been you, Edie. I really do.
Little Edie pulls her face away from Jackie's and walks away.
Grey Gardens. I hardly recognize it.
Buddy said you won't let them sell it.
Oh, they're lovely boys, but they don't understand.
I don't think I do either.
Grey Gardens is my home. It's the only place where I feel completely myself.
Jackie stares at her aunt for a moment, then smiles.
You have extraordinary determination, Aunt Edie.
Jackie comes to sit down next to her.
You don't have to worry. Ari and I are going to help you get things all straightened out. Lee can supervise everything since you're so close by. I had no idea, really.
Oh, dear, no. Oh, I could never ask you to do something like that.
Well, you didn't. I'm offering, insisting in fact.
Little Edie watches jealously as her mother smiles. They wave Jackie off in her sleek limousine. Then Big Edie looks at her daughter.
It should have been me.
Oh, you never dated Joe Kennedy. Oh, what a whopper.
I met him at a house party at Princeton.
Exactly. You met him, but you weren't going to marry him, that's clear.
Well, I might have, Mother darling. I might have. You want to take my picture?
Very, very hard. Take it right here.
The threat of eviction, presumably over.
60-year-old English ivy.
What's going on?
Edie!
That would be good.
Oh,
what?
Edie!
What?
Don't let them take anything out of my house. What's in that bag? Edie, what are you going to do with that rug?
Windows are boarded up and possessions piled onto a truck.
What's going on?
Albert
and David Maisels.
David and Al, it's very nice to meet you. We'll be with Lee and Jackie.
Hello.
A chain is attached to their old car and it's towed out of its resting place. Clean, fresh paints are mixed and rolled onto the inside walls, covering up the stained patterned wallpaper. A bedstead is carried upstairs.
Go inside for a second.
There's nothing wrong with that rug.
David ties a flea collar to his ankle.
We have any more of those?
Yeah.
He hands Al the packet.
If Edie were any good, if she were any good at all. This is all soft shoe now, you know. This is the dance. Come on, Edie. I used to do it myself, you know. I did that. Soft shoe.
To see us or hear us, no friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone. No, no, no. But I'll awake and start to bake a shuk shug sugar cake, cake, cake. See all the bells to see. You see how happy we would be.
Dance to that, Edie. It's a waltz. Come on, get Edie up. Dance the waltz. How can you resist it? How can you resist that?
She flings off her hat. She combs out her thin grey hair with a sad look on her face.
Isn't that a beautiful chord?
Al pans from the aging Edie to the portrait of her in her prime. Little Edie marches down the stairs in her black tights and leotard and waves her flag at Al's camera. She then begins to dance around the hallway, furling and unfurling the flag. She giggles as she marches from one side of the hallway to the other.
Darling David, where have you been all my life? Where have you been? Where have you been? Where have you been? The only thing I needed was this man. Oh, Edie.
What?
What'd you say, Edie? All I needed was this man, David.
As Big Edie watches her daughter on film, she shakes her head. Little Edie drops her flag sadly.
I wish I had David and Al with me before this.
Yeah, well, you had your mother.
Yeah. But they're more interested.
Big Edie looks over at her daughter. Then they both look back at the screen as the documentary ends. Little Edie goes to touch the white sheet the film was projected onto, then paces around looking upset. Al and David wait for their reactions.
David, Al. It's an artistic smash.
Thank you, Edie. Well, and it's not finished yet. That is only 1/100th of what it'll look and sound like when we're done.
Well, I'll have to call up every one of my relatives and tell them I'll never speak to them again if they don't go to see it. Edie, have you seen Whiskers? Where's that kitty?
That's Mother's new favorite cat. Ears like a Russian boar. She just loves him and he disappeared. Now, David, this film is very advanced. Just like the way that the new wave changed cinema. Mm-hmm. Although I never did get out to see the new wave. Oh, my God, abroad. They're going to love it in Europe.
Do you think you can make it to the premiere? We could really use you there.
No. I don't think so. That's not for me. Not my kind of thing. Oh, but I wish you all the luck in the world.
You were going to see you at the premiere, right?
We're gonna paint the town red together. If you don't win 90 prizes for this movie, I'll be very surprised.
Thank you.
David walks back to the car, and Little Edie looks upset.
Goodbye, Al.
Bye, Edie.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Edie.
She smiles briefly, then watches them drive away. After a while, she turns and goes back into the house.
You were magnificent, Mother darling. You stole the show.
I looked fat.
Didn't Grey Gardens look terrific?
Help me into my rolling chair. I can't stand up any longer.
I would think I'll just be having to travel all the time. Paris, London, Rome. Finally.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, in the premiere. That'll be something.
No, I wouldn't go to that premiere if I were you.
But, Mother, you heard Al. They need me there. That film is a work of art.
Well, I think it would be a terrible mistake. Besides, you've already seen it. Why don't you put on that orchestration of Tifa 2?
Why would it be a mistake?
I don't think you see yourself the way others see you. You're...
I'm what?
You're an acquired taste, babe. Now let's just forget the whole thing, okay? Now go get that record. We need some music. Whiskers? Whiskers? Whiskers!
You just can't stand that the whole world is going to know the truth.
About what?
About how you've held me back all these years. It's all in that picture.
Did we just watch the same movie?
I'm going to that premiere.
You don't leave. You say you will, but you never do. Now let's have that song.
No, it's not going to work this time. This is my chance. Don't you see
that? No, you had your chance and you missed out.
Yeah, because I had to come home to take care of you.
That married man was not going to do anything for you at all, Edie.
Stuck me in this goddamn house.
Nobody stuck anybody anywhere. If you're stuck, Edie, it's only with yourself.
Little Edie looks at her mother with hatred, then rushes out of the room.
Edie! Edie!
Edie hurries out of the house and starts to run.
Edie!
As Little Edie runs through the darkness, her mother puts her hand to her mouth in fear. Little Edie stands looking at the waves rolling in from the ocean. While Big Edie looks up at her portrait hanging over the mantelpiece. Outside, Little Edie shakes her head tearfully, the blue chiffon of her headscarf fluttering in the breeze. Inside, Big Edie stares thoughtfully into space. Little Edie walks slowly back up to the house through the darkness. Outside the French windows, she stops and paces for a moment, then sits down on a step. Inside, Big Edie presses her fingers to her eyes wearily, while outside, her daughter shakes her head.
Whiskers.
Little Edie picks the cat up.
You ran away, huh, boy? Mother was apoplectic. She needs you.
Edie, is that you? Oh, my heart. Bring him here. Now, why did you run away the way you did, huh? Oh, Whiskers.
I won't go to New York. I got it all wrong, didn't I? It was all my fault, wasn't it? I should have let you stay in New York. I could have gone any time.
Big Edie nods, pressing a tissue to her face.
Edie, I need your help.
Here, take my hand.
No. In the closet, under the stairs, there's a little yellow box. It's hidden back behind. I want you to get it for me. Go on, go get it.
Little Edie does as she's asked. She searches in the cupboard for a moment.
Can you find it, Edie?
And then brings out a fading yellow box and gives it to her mother. She opens it and takes out her wedding necklace.
Your wedding jewels.
You've kept these all this time?
I was saving them for you.
You should have sold them. God knows we needed the money. Things could have been different.
There's nothing to regret.
Besides, they weren't mine to sell. They've always been yours. You can wear them to that premiere.
She winks at Edie, who smiles back at her, then leans forward and hugs her. Little Edie clings to her mother tearfully.
Okay. I said nothing but sensible sentences in that picture, didn't I?
Oh, yes, Mother. You're a star.
Oh, no, you're a star.
No, you're a star.
The high-rise buildings of New York at night. Edie puts on her mother's wedding necklace, then does her blouse up over the top of it. Looking nervous, she gets up. People are walking down a red carpet that has the word Paris emblazoned in yellow on it. Edie stops and looks down at it. Then she walks over to a poster advertising the film Grey Gardens. She looks at the picture of herself in her fur coat, hand stretched out to the camera. Inside the cinema, she's sitting next to David and Al. She smiles nervously around at the people watching the film. The film ends, and a spotlight falls on Edie. David gives her a bunch of flowers, and she smiles as he helps her to her feet to receive a standing ovation. Edie grins delightedly, then starts tossing white roses to the audience below her. She smells the remaining flowers happily, then tosses the whole bunch over the balcony.
So, Edie, how'd it go, chicken?
Mrs. Beale, this is Walter Goodman of the New York Times. I was wondering if you had any comment on the Maisel's Grey Gardens.
No, Mr. Goodman. It's all in the movie.
She puts down the phone. She looks at Whiskers in her lap.
It's all in the movie.
Edith Bouvier Beale Sr. died a year after the Maisel's documentary premiered. Little Edie sold Grey Gardens on the condition that it not be demolished. She went on to live in New York, Montreal, California, and finally settled in Bal Harbour, Florida.